did. In the very beginning of LBC, they were through the night. It was 24 hours, and then it went to. Then it came off in the middle of the night. But before it came off in the middle of the night, mm-hmm. there was a guy called The Roadblock. Yeah. And I wondered if you might remember his real name.
I don't know. I'm just trying to see if Adam knows. He doesn't know, because he's been around here.
He was on with Adrian Love, I think.
Was he?
There was a kind of, like, you know, you had two presenters simultaneously through the night. So that I presume, you know, if the callers ran out when your audience was so vast as it is now,
yeah.
you know, the presenters could just natter to each other.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear some of that on tape. If you uh-huh. could get hold of some of that would be incredible.
Yeah.
I wish I'd recorded it from a long, long time ago.
I wish I could help you on that one. Yeah. Noah, thanks very much, Dee, for your call. We must move on. Thank you for that. And if you want to stay with us now, we are moving over very soon to Robin Amlow with Dawn Traders on 97.3 FM. So if you're listening to FM right now, then you'll be listening to Robin Amlow very, very soon for Dawn Traders. And if you want to stay with us here on 11:52 a.m., we're going through till 6 o'clock this morning. I suggest you retune now to 11:52 a.m. for the final part of Through the Night with me, Mike Mendoza. Just remind you very soon, around about 5:30, we cross over to 97.3 FM and Robin Amlow with Dawn Traders. But if you want to stay with us here, it's 11:52 AM, okay? So retune if you want to stay with Through the Night. Through till 6 o'clock this morning, you have to retune to 11:52 AM.
LBC News Talk 97.3. News.
It's 5:30. Gerry Adams and Ulster Unionist MP Ken McGuinness have clashed on American TV. In a heated debate, Mr. McGuinness accused the Sinn Féin leader of avoiding questions about the permanence of the IRA ceasefire. Mr. Adams said Mr. McGuinness appeared uninterested in negotiating a settlement. At least 9 people have been killed on a group of Russian islands off the north coast of Japan after an earthquake measuring 8.2 on the Richter scale. 2 people died and nearly 200 were injured in Japan itself. A quake of 5.8 Richter also was recorded in Taiwan. The head of Haiti's most feared paramilitary killers, FRAP, has ordered them to lay down their arms. Emmanuel Constant is calling for an end to all violence on the island. The group has been blamed for a number of attacks on democracy supporters. The housing market is still well and truly in the doldrums, according to the country's biggest building society. The Halifax claims there won't be a significant increase in house prices until the spring at the earliest. It says consumers seem to be scared of spending money. And London's weather this morning, a slight frost on the grass and cars in the suburbs, but it'll be a dry and sunny morning after dawn, temperatures rising steadily up to around 10 Celsius, 50 Fahrenheit by midday. There'll be a little more cloud around in the afternoon, but it should still be dry and fairly sunny, temperatures a little higher than yesterday, around 13 Celsius, the mid-50s Fahrenheit. It's Wednesday, October the 5th. This is Dawn Traders, LBC's early morning financial programme. I'm Robin Amlow with you for the next half hour with all the overnight business and financial news, plus our daily look at the overnight markets. But first, let's find out what the day ahead holds in store for us.
In the business diary for today, there are no major economic statistics due out here at home, but figures which show the level of overseas travel and tourism will be unveiled at 9:30. Meanwhile, across the pond in the States, figures measuring the level of factory orders during August will be released. NatWest Securities expect orders to have risen around 1.7% after a fall in the previous month. Among companies with half-year results are Bank of Scotland. The team at UBS expect it to make profits in the region of £200 million. That would be an increase of around 70% on last time. UBS expect the dividend to be lifted around 20%. Also with interims are Grampian Holdings, Hewden Stewart and Walker Greenback. Elsewhere, Peel Holdings will have its annual general meeting. So too will First Technology.
Jasmine Williams there. On to the business headlines of the morning. The London Stock Exchange has issued a consultative document containing proposals targeting share dealing ahead of sensitive announcements. It's aiming at preserving what it calls an orderly market. The Stock Exchange says over the last 12 months it's significantly improved its ability to monitor market trading electronically. All trades, of course, have to be reported within 3 minutes. The main proposals include redefining the declaration of a stock indicative or alternatively introducing an alert when preset parameters for price movements are breached. In company news from Tokyo, Shin-Etsu Chemical's wholly owned subsidiary Shin-Etsu Hanodatai is announcing later this morning that we'll be setting up a plant in Scotland. Better news for Silicon Glen ahead. Shin-Etsu Hanodatai is a major maker of silicon wafers, an important semiconductor material with around 26% of the global market. Reed Elsevier reports from New York last night that it's reached agreement to acquire Mead Corporation's Lexis Nexis operation for £955 million. Reed Elsevier, of course, is the joint venture of Reed International and Dutch group Elsevier. The assets they're acquiring are the Lexis Nexis legal business and publishing business operations. TSB said last night it would be closing up to 200 of its 1,200 branches next year with a possible loss of around 30 junior managers' jobs. The bank, which has already merged 100 branches this year with no redundancies, emphasised in a statement that no permanent clerical staff need fear for their jobs.
The European Union will ratify the Uruguay round of the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade by the deadline of the end of this year, according to European Trade Commissioner Sir Leon Britton. EU diplomats say ministers have agreed to push through national ratification and also pass the necessary documents to the European Parliament. In the papers this morning, in the Financial Times, Tony Blair, and this, of course, is everywhere in the papers, Tony Blair has told the Labour Party conference that it's time to rewrite the constitution, the party's constitution, that is, and to abandon the commitment to common ownership of the means of production, distribution and exchange. That's the Clause 4 socialist pledge that has been with the party since its birth in 1918. And the High Court has accused the Goodall Walker agency of taking unjustified risks on the Lloyd's market and is holding out the prospect of record compensation to over 3,000 names, estimated to reach around £504 million. Mark Mobius, the president of the Templeton Emerging Markets Fund, says he would rank Russia very highly among emerging markets because of its size and potential. In the next two decades, he says, it's quite possible that Russian capital markets could be as big as those in America. President Boris Yeltsin has confirmed his government's commitment to creating a more favourable investment climate. In the Daily Telegraph, Kenneth Clark has again ruled out the possibility of tax cuts in his November budget, adding he's committed to following policies that would lead to healthy recovery and healthy public finances, and that only in those circumstances could tax cuts be considered. In the Times, the Stock Exchange, as I've already mentioned, this report on new series of controls to insider trading, including the power to suspend shares the moment unusual price movements are detected by its electronic monitoring system. In The Guardian, British Airways, backed by the government and six other European airlines, is to ask the European Court of Justice to annul the European Commission's approval of a 20 billion franc package of state aid to Air France. That's nearly £2.5 billion. The government here says it's unfair that such a subsidy should go to one of Europe's largest airlines, especially at a time when the Commission was supposed to be working towards a single market in air transport. And in The Independent, Howard Davis, Director General of the CBI, has said that many executives are, quote, amateurs, unquote, who are holding back Britain's ability to compete in the global economy. I think it's very brave of the CBI to admit this. Mr. Davis says Britain's managers are alarmingly underqualified, and he's supporting government initiatives to put more young people through some form of higher education, with the emphasis on certain core skill competencies, such as literacy, numeracy, and communications. You're listening to Dawn Traders, the time 23 minutes to 6 o'clock. In the currency markets this morning, the pound is trading at $1.5792 against the markets at 2 marks 44.43. The dollar itself against the mark, 1 mark 54.79. Against the Japanese yen, the dollar trading at 99.55. Well, let's turn to yesterday's markets now. Here in London, shares drifted higher, although there's some disquiet at a profits warning from merchant bankers Hambros. Less of a surprise, I suppose, in the wake of the profits warning on Monday from SG Warburg. FTSE closed up 18.3, 3,001.8. The market still worried about fears of higher US interest rates, and Wall Street's behaviour yesterday is unlikely to lead to a happy start for London later today, but we'll come on to that in a moment. Last night, Lloyd's Bank up 7 at 5.47, Sainsbury up 5 at 4.07 among leaders, British Telecom up 3 at 3.63, calling on Japan to deregulate its telecoms market. They say Japan's the only major country where domestic and international services are separated. British Aerospace fell 3 at 4.39, confirming it's in talks with VSEL. Their shares jumped 17 to 11.95. Elsewhere, Midlands Electricity up 13 at 7.14 after shareholders gave permission to buy back up to 10% of the shares in the market. But other utilities took a knock after the Labour Party pledged to impose strict controls on the companies if it wins the next election. Southern Water lost 13, Northumbrian 16, Wessex down 9. Hambros on that profits warning dropped 26 at 2.25. Compass Group rose 8 at 3.27, though, telling its shareholders that its recent American purchase, Canteen, will make a significant contribution to the next set of results. Courtauld Textiles, a penny up at 4.60, signed an agreement to set up a new operation in China. They'll be investing £20 million over the next 3 years. Only one significant set of results, Silent Night, the country's biggest bed manufacturer, reported half-year profits of £4 million. That's down 21% on last time. Shares dropped 6 at 2.11. And so to Wall Street. Well, I already mentioned that it was a fairly miserable performance. Stocks on the street tumbled in a broad-based sell-off, with further signs of strength in the American economy triggering another round of inflation and interest rate fears. The day on the street from Bob Buxbaum of Merrill Lynch.
After a hesitant, lethargic start, stock prices began slipping prior to the noon hour and then kept sliding for the remainder of the day as program sellers took hold. Strong September auto sales were a factor which caused a minority of Fed watchers to forecast that short-term interest rates could be raised Friday if strong employment data confirms an overheating economy when those figures are released early in the morning. The long-term Treasury was off another large fraction, with a yield just a notch under 7.9%. Declining stocks swamped advancers about 17 to 5, and the Dow Jones Industrials at the close are off 45 and better than 45 points at 3801. Standard & Poor 500 Index was off better than 7 points at 454.59, and trading was brisk at a 328 million shares. Going against the trend was drug maker Marion Merrill Dow, up 2 points at 25 7/8 in active trading. Speculators believe a bid is imminent from a major European firm such as Hoist, Ciba Geigy, or A.G. Bayer. They are mentioned as possible buyers. Some analysts say that Marion Merrill could be worth anywhere from 28 to as high as 35. Meanwhile, Dow Chemical, which owns better than 70% of Marion Merrill, was off 3 points at 74. Dow has been getting some better than 30% of its income from its interest in the drug company. Another semi-drug maker, Carter Wallace, closed up 3/8 at 13 3/4. Carter announced a giant restructuring plan. It'll slash its U.S. workforce about 20% or more and shut down plants and curtail pharmaceutical research in the future. It will be more or less dependent on some over-the-counter products such as deodorants and OTC drugs. And Nucor, the really top-notch steel company, closed down 6 points at 63 3/4. Nucor was removed from one major firm's recommended list. Other stocks on the active list, it was another bad day for the semiconductor stocks. Micron Technology was off another 1.5 points at 30 7/8, and Advanced Micro Devices off 1.5 at 25. Merck closed at 36 3/8, off 1/8. Ford at 27 1/8, off 3/8. American Express was up 1/8 at 30 1/8. The company is expected to announce slashing of 4,000 jobs over the next couple of years, and in an order to cut its operating costs. General Motors closed at 45, off 1 1/4, and Walmart at 22 3/4, off 1/2. For Dawn Traders, Bob Buxbaum, Merrill Lynch.
On to the bond markets now. Thanks for that, Bob. Gilt futures stabilized yesterday, propped up by spread buying against bunds and also some technically inspired purchases with support levels holding. The market is expected really to go nowhere until Friday and the American jobs report due out then, which will give further clues about the need for American interest rate rises and the possible timing thereof. The December gilt future finished up 13 ticks at 99.10 after a high of 99.17. Bunds were steady, holding large losses, though, range trading seen between 88.88.50. Comments from Hans Tiedemeyer of the Bundesbank reinforced the view that the Bundesbank was holding firm on interest rates. Worries about the elections in Germany dominating the market as well. The December bund future down to 88.33 from a previous 88.93. This morning in Tokyo, the benchmark T-bond ended the morning session a touch firmer on position adjustment. Light speculative buying by dealers also seen. The overall mood, though, remaining bearish on worries about inflation prospects in the States and, of course, the American unemployment figures that are due out on Friday. The bond at 95.19/32, that's one tick up, 1/32 up from the close in New York. The yields dipped slightly, 7.8 from 7.89 to 7.88%. Trade remaining largely quiet and directionless, although that is likely to change on Friday with the employment numbers. In the JGB pits, Japanese government bond futures were lower at midday, the market confirming a limited topside, coming back from morning highs on a lack of buying factors. The December futures contract finished the morning session 107.68. That's down 0.1 from Tuesday's close. It was briefly up to 107.89, but fell back. The 164th 10-year bond in the cash market yields 4.62% against 4.59% on Tuesday. A rise in three-month CDs, certificates of deposits, the benchmark in the longer-term money market rates to 2.3%, partly behind weakness in bond prices.
LBC News Talk 97.3.
6:15, the main news headlines for you this morning. Gerry Adams and Ulster Unionist MP Ken McGuinness have clashed on American TV. In a heated debate, Mr. McGuinness accused the Sinn Féin leader of avoiding questions about the permanence of the IRA ceasefire. Mr. Adams said Mr. McGuinness appeared uninterested in negotiating a settlement. At least nine people have been killed on a group of Russian islands off the north coast of Japan after an earthquake measuring 8.2 on the Richter scale. Two people died and nearly 200 were injured in Japan itself. A quake of 5.8 on the Richter scale was also recorded in Taiwan. The head of Haiti's most feared paramilitary killers, FRAP, has ordered them to lay down their arms. Emmanuel Constant is calling for an end to all violence on the island. The group has been blamed for a number of attacks on democracy supporters. The housing market is still well and truly in the doldrums, according to the country's biggest building society. The Halifax claims there won't be a significant increase in house prices until the spring at the earliest. It says consumers seem to be scared of spending money. And the weather for us this morning. A slight frost on the grass and cars in the suburbs if you're out and about now. But after dawn, it'll be a dry and sunny morning. Temperatures are steadily rising through the morning up to around 10 Celsius, 50 Fahrenheit by midday. Into the afternoon, it's going to start clouding over a touch, but still dry and fairly sunny. Temperatures a little higher than yesterday, around 13 Celsius, the mid-50s Fahrenheit. That's still 3 degrees below average for this time of year, though. Tonight, dry with clear spells, not quite as cold as it was this night. Lowest temperatures tonight expected around 4 Celsius, 39 Fahrenheit on the outskirts, 7.45 in town. The wind swinging round to a light southwesterly by morning, which should help temperatures pick up for the rest of the week. Let's move on to the markets in the Far East now, and we go to Sydney, Australia first, as we always do.
Good morning, Robin. The US labour figure due on Friday seems to have steadied the currency market. Medium-term players are hesitant to take any large positions ahead of this figure and perhaps associated interest rate adjustments. Traders are happy to take small profits and manage minor positions. The dollar mark is currently trading at 154.75. Some short covering from Japanese interbank dealers and US speculators at 99.30 has helped propel the dollar yen up to 99.5. Other noted buyers at 99.30 were Japanese trust banks and life insurers. Next resistance is pegged at 99.70 to 80, where Japanese exporter sales are detected. For the morning, sterling maintained its ground above 158, the figure, but failed to test the technical level of 158.30. This failure prompted a sell-off through the figure and closed for lunch at 157.95. Sterling mark has traded steadily between 244.40 to 244.75. The Aussie remains locked in a trading range with Singapore bids at 73.80 and reports of a large selling order at 74.10 capping the topside. Speculation of another interest rate hike continues to run rampant in the local capital markets, resulting in a very nervous currency market. The Aussie is currently trading at 73.95 and against the sterling at 213.59. Despite a dismal performance in the Dow Jones, our All Ordinaries Index is down 9.2 points. To 1,988.9. BHP led the way, down 12 points to 1924, whereas News Corp is actually up 14 points to 820. Building stocks were also down, with CSR down 7 points to 436, Pioneer down 3 points to 330, and Boral down 2 points to 328. The mining sector actually bucked the trend, with Mount Isa Mines up 2 points to 270, CRA steady at 1864, and Western Mining Corp up 9 points to 782. Transport stocks are mixed, with Brambles steady at 1368, TNT up 2 points to 242, and May Nicholas up 7 points to 720. For Dawn Traders, this is Gabrielle Hope-Allen, NatWest Markets, Sydney.
Thank you very much, Gabrielle. We'll move on to Hong Kong now, and Richard Johnson of Nomura.
The weekendite in New York has had a predictable follow-on effect in Hong Kong this morning. The Hang Seng Index is down 158 points to 9,345, and the volume is a little better than for the same time yesterday at about 1.5 billion Hong Kong dollars. The futures market is a little stronger in volume terms with 6,600 contracts traded, but in price terms is down 125 points to 9,315. There are very few gainers in the stock scene this morning. Mandarin Oriental is up 45 cents to 10.65 and is pretty much the only stock of note. Plenty of stocks are slightly weaker, but the most notable are Jardine Matheson, down $1.75 to $63. Wheelock is off 50 cents to 16.45, and Hong Kong Electric has lost 60 cents to 23.90. The mood is bearish, but probably a bit overdone. The market is waiting for a speech by Governor Chris Patten today and is looking towards New York for direction. It's also interesting to note that of the other regional markets, they're all faring well, with Singapore flat and Malaysia is up strongly. For Dawn Traders, this is Richard Johnson at Nomura Hong Kong.
And from Hong Kong to Singapore, and Ching Wong of James Capel.
Good morning, Robin. Interesting day today. KL is quite firm. The KLSE Comps is up 16 points at midday. There seems to be a bit of institutional buying of blue chips with things like Malian Banking up 70 cents at the moment. Things like Telecom Tanaga also a bit better. And down in Singapore, stocks generally, blue chips generally quite steady, digesting yesterday's 22-point gain. The index, the Straits is up 5 points at midday. The UOB OTC index is up 10.5 points on renewed speculative interest. Volume of about 100 million shares, worth about 320 million at midday. Broader market showing 168 up, 101 down. Volume mostly concentrated in second liners, situationals. Good mix of both Singapore and Malaysian stocks, but mostly second liners. In terms of blue chips, as I said, they're mostly steady. Cycle and Carriage up 40, leading the gainers this morning, pushing the index quite nicely. Other blue chip gainers include OCBC Foreign up 30, Simbuang up 30, City Devs up 20. And in terms of declines this morning, nothing of real significance. FNN down 10, Fells down 10 after yesterday's good run under a bit of profit taking. Jurong Ship and Keppel Core down 10. But as I said, blue chips mostly steady. This is Ching Wong speaking from James Capel, Singapore.
And we finish our review of the markets in the Far East with Paddy Hogan of Smith Newcourt in Tokyo.
Tokyo stocks are marginally firmer at lunchtime. The Nikkei 225 is up 38 points at 19,607 on morning volume of 88 million shares. After the index had spent most of the morning session negative territory, a combination of domestic investment trust and trust bank buying lifted prices into positive territory. Small public fund buying too is expected to be seen at the opening of the afternoon session. Foreigners are quiet and dull overall activity, content to stay sidelined as horror stories about the low take-up ratio with regard to Japan tobacco abound. Volume is heaviest once again in low price blasts, steels and industrial electronic issues. Pulp and paper and automobiles are the best sectors at lunch, while not surprisingly given the low volume and recent poor results, brokers are the worst performing sector. Nintendo, 7974 after a dismal performance yesterday and a subsequent earnings downgrade, is having another awful day, off 220 at 52.40. Other former foreign favourites in difficulty day are Shimachu, 8184 off 90, Ayama, 8219 off 40, and Shimano off 10 at 2000. On the positive side, Honda is up 60 at 17.30, while Nippon Shinpan is up 26 at 7.84, rebounding after yesterday's losses due to a story alleging that an affiliate company was in financial difficulty. Bonds are having a poor day. The benchmark is off 4 basis points on the yield terms at 4.63, while bond futures are 18 ticks easier at 107.60. Call money is unchanged at 2 and 6.30 seconds. The currency is slightly stronger at 99.55 vis-a-vis the dollar, but not quite weak enough to sort of push prices any further. For Dawn Traders in Tokyo, this is Paddy Hogan at Smith Newcourt.
Thank you very much for that, Paddy. And that brings the time coming up to 6 minutes to 6 o'clock. A few thoughts from the papers for you from the Daily Telegraph. Hurry, hurry, there are only a couple more weeks left for those thinly disguised tax scams with which the electricity companies have been delighting the aptly named gross funds. After Midlands copied Northern Electric's innovative share buyback scheme yesterday, only 5 of the 12 regional companies have yet to become copycats before they have to stop dealing in the middle of this month ahead of their half-year results. While the companies attempt to justify themselves by pointing to the boost it gives earnings per share, the buybacks are only possible because of the advanced corporation tax, which is docked from small shareholders' dividends and which gross funds can reclaim. These funds, principally for pensions and charities, must ask the taxman for the money and say, with a straight face, that they sold the shares because it was an attractive offer and that the thought of the tax credit never crossed their minds. Until the Chancellor stamps on this tawdry business, the gross funds and the electricity companies will have a profitable wallow at the taxpayers' expense. Says the Telegraph, he had better get on with it. And in the Times, the Financial Times, in the Lex column, yesterday's judgment in favour of the Goodawker Walker names represents an overdue mucking out of a very dirty Lloyd's of London stable. There is a considerable amount of uncertainty about the money that Goodawker Walker names will eventually receive, but the ruling should pave the way for settlement of at least some of the outstanding litigation against Lloyd's. And Lloyd's biggest problem, says Lex, is that it must still set up reinsurance to cover pre-1986 risks, primarily on US asbestos and pollution claims. Investors may be unwilling to commit substantial new capital until the new arrangements are in place at the end of next year. And on the subject of the stock exchange's proposals for limiting insider dealing, they have at least one thing to be said for them, says Lex. Companies will not be happy if trading in their shares is suspended as a result of unusual price movements, but that is partly the point of the proposals. Companies wanting to avoid an embarrassing suspension would have every incentive to announce price-sensitive information they feared might leak out. And the sooner such information was published, says Lex, the less opportunity insider dealers would have to make a profit. And I'd like to draw your attention to something in the Financial Times' Observer column. Mark Melcher, a political analyst at Prudential Securities in the US, cites a recent poll which asked women whether they would rather sleep with Bill Clinton or Vice President Al Gore. 70% plumped for Gore. Well, Melcher had trouble believing that, so checked the wording of the question. In fact, the women were asked whether they would rather sleep with Al Gore or with Bill Clinton again. Which, of course, is a question I shan't be putting to Pippa Sparks at the LBC Travel Centre. Good morning, Pippa.
It's a bit early for that kind of decision. We've got DHL Mobiles reporting an accident at the Blackwall Tunnel entrance at the moment. That's currently causing northbound delays in the Blackwall Tunnel southern approach. Elsewhere, it's fairly quiet on London's road so far this morning, but watch out for the A406 North Circular in Neasden. Westbound lane restrictions continue the junction with Great Central Way, and you'll also find the inside lane out because of a collapsed manhole cover near the junction with Kenwyn Drive. Other than that, no major delays to report.
Buy Kodak Gold films at participating mobile service stations and you can get 50% more film free. And we'll give you a pound off developing. For extra free photography, drive into Mobile.
Pippa Sparks reporting from the LBC Traffic Centre.
Thank you very much, Pippa, for indeed the last time. Let's take a look at the business diary. No major economic numbers here at home. We do have figures on the level of overseas travel and tourism out, though, at 9:30. I don't hold your breath. They're not going to be very exciting. Over in the States, more numbers measuring the level of factory orders for August. NatWest Securities forecasting orders up around 1.7% after a fall in the previous month. Among companies with half-year results, we have the biggie of the week today, Bank of Scotland. UBS are forecasting profits in the region of £200 million. That would be an increase of around 70% on last time's £117 million. It's not that the bank, of course, is making a fantastically better deal of its business. What it is, of course, is the write-back of bad debts and bad debt provisions being reduced. The dividend expected up around 20%. Also with interims, Grampian Holdings, Hewden Stewart and Walker Greenbank. Elsewhere, annual general meetings from Peel Technology, Peel Holdings, I'm getting the names mixed up, Peel Holdings and First Technology. All of which, of course, since it's not very exciting except for Bank of Scotland's results, are likely to count for nothing with the market compared to Wall Street's 45-point drop yesterday. FTSE finished up 18 points, the Dow Jones finished down 45. Guess for yourself which way you think the London market is likely to go when it opens up this morning. This, of course, is the last Dawn Traders for LBC, but Dawn Traders will be continuing on London News 97.3 FM. Well, this has been Dawn Traders. As I say, the very last for LBC, but fear not, you'll get your morning market fix tomorrow from Brian Thompson, and every day thereafter, weekdays, I get a lie-in. It's nearly 6 o'clock. Well, at this time, on October the 8th, 1973, a brand new radio service for London was launched, LBC Radio. It was a service which introduced news radio and talk radio to Europe and grew to be part of the way of life of millions of Londoners. In just a few moments, LBC gives way to London News 97.3 FM. We think it inherits the best traditions of LBC and introduces you to new, innovative programming, which we believe will soon become just as much an essential part of your life. From LBC Radio, a very good morning and goodbye.
London News, 97.3 FM. All news, all the time.
Welcome to London News, 97.3 FM. It's going to be a fine day in London. Good morning, 6 o'clock, Wednesday, October the 5th. I'm Michael Wilson.
And I'm Claire Catford.
Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams tells Ulster unionists it's time to take the hand of friendship. More misery for London commuters. This time it's a tube strike. Thousands flee their homes as a huge earthquake rocks Japan. And 25 years old today, Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams has appeared on American television to tell one of his most bitter unionist opponents it's time to shake hands. Mr Adams was involved in a head-to-head encounter with Ulster unionist MP Ken McGuinness in a live TV debate on The Larry King Show. It was the first time members of the two parties had shared a platform. Mr McGuinness said, despite the IRA ceasefire, the Sinn Féin leader couldn't be trusted.
He's someone who fronts for a vicious organisation that has killed almost 2,000 people during the last 20-odd years. If someone is sitting on over 100 tonnes of arms, how on earth do you trust them? And they're saying, we want to enter the democratic process. You don't enter the democratic process with SAM-7 surface-to-air missiles, with 1,200 assault rifles. That's not the way to do it.
Mr Adams said talking was now the only way forward in Ulster, and he said the IRA ceasefire is proof they can be trusted.
I think we have to build trust. I want to make friends with this man and with those that he represents. We are of the island of Ireland. We live there. We want to live there on the basis of equality and justice.
Do you regret some of the actions of your party and your friends in the past?
I have acknowledged in Ireland the suffering that has been inflicted by Republicans upon others. I myself have been a victim of terrorism. I have no monopoly, and those I represent have no monopoly on suffering. I think it's time to put out the hand of friendship.
In Washington is Reuters correspondent Damon Stewart. He's been following the progress of Mr. Adams' two-week US visit and the efforts of the unionists to put across their side of the story. Damon, did anyone come out of this TV debate as a clear winner?
I don't think so. I mean, once again, Adams is obviously the more polished performer. Where he was relaxed and usually quite affable, McGuinness often appeared uncomfortable and sometimes hostile. But Adams' failure to once again confirm that the IRA has given up the gun for good can't have done him any good with the American people or with the White House.
Has Gerry Adams made much of an impact during his latest visit to the US then?
Certainly there hasn't been the amount of interest that there has been in the United Kingdom. I feel that many people here are worried by the fact that he still will not commit himself to peace. There's a lot of traditional support for Irish nationalism here for historical and political reasons, and I don't think that Adams' visit has actually improved on that support. In fact, if anything, I think it's probably decreased a little.
And do you think the American public's becoming more aware of the situation in Ireland because of the efforts of Mr. Adams and Mr. McGuinness, finally?
I think that Adams is now becoming a minor media personality. I think the unionists also have really become visible for the first time. I think for most Americans, they really thought that the problem was between the British on one hand and the Irish on the other. the existence of the entire loyalist community was a little of a mystery to them.
Damon Stewart, thanks very much.
London News Time, just after 3 minutes past six. Britain and Ireland have won Europe's backing for a multi-million pound aid package for Ulster. It'll involve tearing down the West Belfast peace line, which has divided Catholics and Protestants for 25 years. European Union foreign ministers agreed on a deal at talks last night in Luxembourg, although no firm figure has been mentioned. It's likely the cash could be available by the end of the year.
You're listening to London News on 97.3 FM.
It is a sector exploding with opportunities. Seize them with the Evening Standard's new section, IT. With careers that challenge...
We need analyst programmers and fast.
An IT security and planning manager.
Safety critical software.
And careers that pay.
25k and a car.
18,000 minimum.
The 40,000 mark.
As IT creates the information superhighway, don't get stuck on the hard shoulder. IT appointments. New in the pink pages of the Evening Standard tonight.
Now over for the latest on the roads to our traffic team.
And already problems this morning through the Blackwall Tunnel. The northbound tunnel blocked by an accident delays already building back to Blackwall Lane at the moment. Elsewhere in East Molesey, Hurst Road is still closed at the junction with Bishop Fox Way following a burst water main. All traffic there following local diversions. And in Hornsey, Firm Park Road, the temporary traffic lights in the roadworks at the junction with Fairfield Road are out of order this morning. Quite a busy cut-through route just off Tottenham Lane, so may well slow things down. Chelsea Bridge, that's still down to a single lane northbound all this week because of roadworks. That's going to cause problems back towards Battersea during the morning. Other major routes, though, running into town, all good so far. And on the motorways, the M25 reported problem-free. The M4, though, still the roadworks between junctions 4 and 3 between Heathrow and Heston. Buses, tubes and trains all running smoothly so far, but in the air at Gatwick, the flight due in from Heraklion at 6.40 this morning is running just over an hour late. Matthew Schofield for the London Travel Team.
Thanks, Matthew. Travel every 10 minutes here on London News 97.3 FM. And another travel story. London's commuters are facing another strike, this time on the Tube. Negotiations between underground officials and RMT union leaders last night failed to resolve the dispute over pay. A 24-hour walkout is due to start at 7.30 tomorrow evening. Jeff Collins reports.
The talks of the Conciliation Service ACAS broke up after almost 2 days of negotiations with no sign of an end to the stalemate in sight. The unions rejected a 2.5% offer, calling it unacceptable. Underground officials, though, say the offer cannot be improved. It comes just days after the RMT officially ended its dispute over pay with Railtrack, which crippled mainline services. Chairman of the London Regional Passenger Committee, Rufus Barnes, says he's disappointed some kind of agreement couldn't have been reached to prevent the strike from going ahead.
We would very much have hoped that these talks would have borne fruit and that Londoners would not be now facing further disruption to their public transport system. I don't wish to put the blame anywhere. I think that whenever there is a strike, it's very difficult for the passengers to come down on one side or the other, and it isn't very constructive.
Underground officials, though, are confident most of their services will be running. Five other unions have accepted the new pay deal. Their members will be working. Underground spokesman Roger Shire says disruption should be kept to a minimum.
We're extremely disappointed that the RMT is still intending to take this action in pursuit of what we feel is an unrealistic claim, particularly as only one in four of its members actually sought to take strike action. But we're confident that our workforce will ensure as much of the network operates on Friday as possible.
Both sides say they remain open to talks, but neither is confident of an early breakthrough.
London News Time, 7 minutes past six. A survey out today shows the majority of top business leaders don't believe the government has led Britain out of the recession. The poll commissioned by London Radio found that 8 out of 10 business people thought the economy was not yet back on its feet. Douglas Godden of the Confederation of British Industries admits there are doubts, but he says the economy is on the up and the Chancellor has to keep it that way.
The one thing that would not be very helpful is if we saw any further significant rises in interest rates. So I don't really see those as being necessary to keep inflation under control. I think as far as taxes are concerned, which people may be rather concerned at, there's probably little scope to reduce taxes in the forthcoming budget by any significance. But I think, again, looking ahead further to late 1995, and into 1996, then there may well be scope for perhaps some tax reductions which will help the typical employee. provided the government can also keep a grip on its spending.
London News Time, 8 minutes past six. More on the economy. Britain's biggest building society says the housing market is still slow and probably won't pick up until next spring at the earliest. Prices are now 0.7% lower than they were this time last year. Gary Marsh from the Halifax admits they were hoping for better news.
It is disappointing because we were looking for this gradual recovery. We certainly don't want to see a return to the days of boom because they tend to be followed by busts. But we were looking for a steady increase. And really, that's just not happened. Simply because the confidence is not there for people to be going out and buying and selling houses. Activity levels are very low.
London News Time, 9 minutes past six. A very good morning. You're listening to London News on 97.3 FM with the best and most effective weather service. Louise Lear has the latest on that. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Claire, and morning to everyone else. Well, generally speaking, it's not going to be quite an extremer day today as it was yesterday. In fact, temperatures last night didn't get as low as the night before. It's still been fairly cold, though, with temperatures in the centre around 5 Celsius. And out on the outskirts, it's as low as 2 at the moment. This has also given more rural areas some ground frost, but after dawn things will start to pick up. Now there should be quite a bit of sun around this morning, so it's going to be another one of those bright, cold and crisp starts to the day. By the afternoon we should see more in the way of cloud, and this will allow the temperatures to rise to about 13 Celsius, a couple of degrees higher than yesterday. Still another dry and cold night to follow, but we will start to see a general increase in the temperatures over the next few days, bringing them back to about average for this time of year. Let's just have a quick look at this. Copycat weather for Thursday: dry, sunny and slightly milder. A little more in the way of cloud around by Friday, although it will start off dry and bright. But then we might see one or two showers by the evening. Generally speaking, though, not a bad end to the week.
It's leg warmer weather, though, really, isn't it?
What are they? I've forgotten about those.
Oh, you make me feel so old. I've got a balaclava, my dear. We won't go into that. Louise, we'll talk to you in around about 50 minutes' time. Thanks very much. You have, of course, a very efficient computer giving you all the weather information that you need, don't you?
I do.
Multicoloured, in fact.
Yes, we have the latest rain radar technology, but typical weather, it never does what you want to do. There's actually no rain in the country today. Even Scotland, that's had rain and snow over the last few days, is going to have a fairly clear one. But if anything happens, I will let you know as it develops.
Louise, thank you very much. London News Time, 11 minutes past six.
This weekend, which car rental company, beginning with A, offers you a Vauxhall Corsa 1.2 LS for just £23 a day? A price that includes unlimited mileage, collision damage waiver and VAT. Which car rental company, beginning with A? Alamo. We aim to set the highest standard. Find us in Yellow Pages or call 0800 272 300. Alamo features Vauxhall cars.
London News. It's 11 minutes past 6 o'clock, 97.3 FM. 11 people are reported to have died and hundreds have been injured in two earthquakes which have hit the northern island of Japan. The first quake was centred just off Hokkaido and measured 8.2 on the Richter scale. A secondary tremor registered 6 on the scale. Two people have died on Hokkaido, and Moscow has confirmed that 9 have been killed on Russia's Kuril Islands off the coast of Japan. The Russian Emergency Situations Ministry says the shocks have caused severe damage and have disrupted communications. Rescue efforts are being hampered by heavy rain and high winds. Tidal waves thrown up by the quakes have washed over many islands in the area. On the Pacific island of Hawaii, thousands of people were earlier evacuated from coastal homes, fearing a huge wave, but it fizzled out in mid-ocean.
As Labour's conference enters its third day, Tony Blair is being warned his planned reform of the party may cause a damaging rift. Left-wingers at a rally in Blackpool last night drew up a petition defending the party's commitment to public ownership. Our political correspondent Ed Boyle reports from the conference at Blackpool.
Goodbye. Tony Blair has now made clear that he wants to rid the party of the residue of yesterday's image. For a decade at least, most Labour politicians have realised that increased public ownership isn't just a pipe dream, it isn't even a pipe, let alone the tobacco. And if the leader can persuade or cajole his party to abandon such aspirations, he believes electoral success is a real possibility. But a battle there will be, and the battle lines have already been drawn. Arthur Scargill calls it an act of treason. Lesser figures on the hard left may be quiet now, but could cause trouble later. So yesterday's Blair speech could prove the spark of Labour bonfires to come. And even today, there's certain to be bitter argument about how many women candidates should be selected for parliamentary seats. In other words, the new Labour Party may have been launched by a new leader, but the old routine of rows lives on, at least for the moment.
London News, it's 13 minutes past 6, 97.3 FM. Campaigners fighting the criminal justice bill take their complaints direct to Downing Street today. A coalition against the proposed new law will this afternoon deliver a petition to Number 10. They claim the measures in the bill will radically curb civil liberties. Organiser Richard Howe wants to drive the message home with a high-profile demonstration.
The convoy is going to consist of a tank and a sound system and some 14-foot inflatable pigs, because the way that the coalition is seeing it, the government's at the moment riding a tank through our civil liberties, and the use of the tank is symbolic. It's not going to be a lot of noise. It's going to be a sound system outside the House of Commons, probably playing classical music.
London News is sharing its birthday with a very unusual team of people. It's exactly 25 years since the first Monty Python show was screened. Launched back in 1969, it burst onto Britain's TV screens, bringing a brand new off-the-wall humour to the normally conventional BBC.
And now for something completely different. London News time for, 14 minutes past 6 o'clock. Time for travel. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. Not a good start, I'm afraid, in the Blackwall Tunnel. The northbound tunnel at the moment completely blocked because of an accident. AA patrols already reporting delays back to Blackwall Lane. That's only going to get worse unless it's cleared pretty quickly. Chelsea Bridge, that's still down to a single lane northbound because of repair work and is likely to cause delays once again back towards Battersea. And Lee Bridge Road in Clapton, the roadworks at Lee Bridge will also cause problems again this morning coming in from the Walthamstow direction. In East Molesey, Hurst Road, that's still closed because of a burst water main at the junction with Bishop Foxway. All traffic is following local diversions. Already a bit of heavy traffic on the M25. The traffic sensor showing it down to about 25 miles an hour clockwise through the roadworks in Surrey between junctions 7 and 8. Other motorways, though, so far running well. It's a good start to the morning on the underground, the trains and the buses, with all routes running normally. But in the air at Gatwick, the 6:50 arrival from Dallas-Fort Worth will be about an hour and a half behind schedule. Matthew Schofield for the London Travel Team.
Next travel news for you in 10 minutes' time. Now with the sport, here's Dominic Allen.
Good morning, everyone. Third Division Mansfield Town provided the shock of the Coca-Cola Football League Cup when they beat Leeds United 1-0 on aggregate. After winning the first leg 1-0 at Elland Road, they held Leeds to a goalless draw in the second leg at Field Mill. Watford beat Tottenham 3-2 on the night at White Hart Lane, but Spurs go through to the third round 8-6 overall. All the other London clubs in action are through as well, but Crystal Palace gave their supporters a fright. It was 4 minutes into injury time before they scored to level the tie against Lincoln at 1-1 on aggregate. Palace scored twice more in extra time to win 3-1. Chelsea beat Bournemouth 1-0 at Dean Court to go through 2-0 on aggregate, and Millwall held Sunderland to a 1-1 draw at Roker Park. Millwall won 3-2 over the two legs. The other clubs to reach the third round were Blackburn Rovers, Norwich City, Nottingham Forest, Oldham and Sheffield Wednesday. There are 14 more second-round, second-leg games this evening, and there could be more surprises because in five of them, Premiership sides will have to come from behind to win their place in the third round. Martina Hingis, the 14-year-old Czech girl, won her first match as a professional last night in the European Indoor Championships in Zurich. She beat Patty Fendick in straight sets, 6-4, 6-3. There are four race meetings today. They're at York, Haydock, Market Raisin and Toaster.
A big upset. Leeds beaten by Mansfield in the Coca-Cola Cup.
Yes, a very big one. A good stag party, shall we say, at Mansfield Town. Yes, they beat Leeds, mighty Leeds, or ex-mighty Leeds, by a goal to nil. They'd won the first leg at Elland Road, 1-0. Last night they had one of their defenders sent off, Colin Hoyle, about a quarter of an hour before the end, but they still held out to draw 0-0 with Leeds. And so Mansfield go into the draw for the third round.
But basically a good night on the whole for London clubs.
Yes, it was, apart from Watford. I mean, Watford were eliminated. On the other hand, they beat Spurs by 3-2 at White Hart Lane. More problems for Ozzy Ardiles there. But Spurs go through 8-6 on aggregate. In the other games, Chelsea won 1-0 at Dean Court against Bournemouth, not the best club in the second division. In fact, they're second from bottom in the second division. Crystal Palace won 3-0 against Lincoln, but they had to go wait till injury time before they actually equalised, because Lincoln, the third division side, had won the first leg at Sinsel Bank by a goal to nil. No real problems for Millwall. They held Sunderland to a 1-1 draw at Roker Park, so they go through 2-1 on aggregate, 3-2 on aggregate. And as I say, Watford out, but Tottenham go through.
Dominic, thanks very much. More sport in half an hour on 97.3 FM.
London News Time, 17 minutes past six. Let's have a look at the insides and, in fact, the front pages also of some of the papers. The Times, as do all the broadsheets, lead with Tony Blair's big Blackpool speech, which, as the paper puts it, sounds the death knell for Clause 4, the bedrock of its socialist past. Blair stuns left with proposal to scrap Clause 4. That's the headline. He used his first conference speech as Labour leader to give a daring and vivid signal of his readiness to go further than his recent predecessors in slaying the sacred cows that have stood in the way of Labour's quest for power. And according to The Guardian, Tony Blair last night looked set to pull off the most sensational political coup for a generation as the Labour conference embraced his unexpected call for an overhaul of the party's time-honoured aims and objectives.
And taking a look at some of the tabloids today, the fallout from the book Princess in Love continues, with the Mail asking whether divorce is the best option for Diana and Charles on its front page. The Mirror reports that the author of the book, Anna Pasternak, has fled the country as fury mounted over her explosive kiss-and-tell book. She is said to be deeply traumatised and physically ill because of the stress of it all. The Sun has a solution to Princess Diana's stress problems. The paper says she's taken up kickboxing, would you believe, as a way of standing up to all her present pressures. She apparently pays £30 per boxing session. The training consists of lethal high kicks and powerful punches. That sounds a good idea. Get all your aggression out doing that.
She may need them if she decides, or anybody decides, to take advantage of the good weather and go down to Hastings today. Watch out if you go for a paddle, because a 20-foot shark has been released into the sea by the Hastings Sea Life Centre because it grew too big for its tank.
Ah, nice story. 20 plus 6, London News Time, that's the time, 97.3 FM. A very good morning if you've just joined us. As I say, the fastest, most efficient news service in the capital.
London News, 97.3 FM, where news comes first.
It's going to be a fine day. Temperatures up to around 2 degrees today. A very good morning. My name is Claire Caffey.
And I'm Michael Wilson. Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams goes live on American television and calls on Ulster unionists to take the hand of friendship. London faces a 24-hour tube strike from 7:30 tomorrow night, and a huge earthquake sends thousands fleeing from their homes in the Pacific.
The Sinn Féin president, Gerry Adams, has told America in a live television debate that he's prepared to take a chance for peace. He offered to shake hands with leading Ulster unionist Ken McGuinness during the Larry King show. It's the first time members of the two parties have shared a platform. The unionists want to counter the publicity Sinn Féin has been getting in the US. Jeff Collins reports.
Right from the start of the debate, the two men were unable to find much common ground. Asked what he thought of the Sinn Féin leader, Mr. McGuinness, the MP for Fermanagh and South Tyrone, was blunt and straight to the point.
He's someone who fronts for a vicious organisation that has killed almost 2,000 people during the last 20-odd years. If someone is sitting on over 100 tons of arms, how on earth do you trust them? And they're saying, we want to enter the democratic process. You don't enter the democratic process with Sam 7 surface-to-air missiles, with 1,200 assault rifles. That's not the way to do it.
Just days after being refused the opportunity of talks with President Clinton at the White House, Mr. Adams was keen to impress the US audience. In his response to Mr. McGuinness, he tried to make it clear his only intention now is to secure peace.
I think we have to build trust. I want to make friends with this man and with those that he represents. We are of the island of Ireland. We live there. We want to live there on the basis of equality.
Do you
justice.
Regret some of the actions of your party and your friends in the past?
I have acknowledged in Ireland the suffering that has been inflicted by Republicans upon others. I myself have been a victim of terrorism. I have no monopoly, and those I represent have no monopoly on suffering. I think it's time to put out the hand of friendship.
Later in the debate, Mr. McGuinness refused to shake hands with Mr. Adams. He dismissed the gesture as a gimmick.
London News Time, 22 minutes past six. With the rail dispute still a very fresh memory, commuters face a strike on the tube. Talks between the RMT union and London Underground's management have failed to head off a 24-hour walkout starting at 7:30 tomorrow night. The chairman of the London Regional Passenger Committee, Rufus Barnes, doesn't think the strikers will get much public support.
I suppose it will, to some degree, depend on how much disruption passengers face. It really, at this stage, is very unclear as to how much they're going to face, and we will have to wait and see. But I don't think
in practice, many people do support strikes, especially if those strikes result in disruption to their journeys.
11 people are now known to have been killed by the massive undersea earthquake off the north coast of Japan. Most of the casualties reported so far are in the Russian Kuril Islands. 177 people have also been injured. The quake measured 8 on the Richter scale. A late aftershock sparked tidal wave alerts as far away as Hawaii. Thousands of people were evacuated from coastal areas but are now being told it's safe to return to their homes. Joining us now on the line is our Tokyo correspondent Brian Williams. Brian, people are being allowed back to their homes. Does this mean that the worst is now over?
Yes, it appears that the worst is now over, and the next priority is to restore electricity, to restore gas supplies, and to find any people who may be injured in some very isolated areas. There still is a considerable amount of concern about what may have happened on the Russian islands that are north of Japan's Hokkaido Island.
What exactly is the scale of the disaster?
I would say that given the scale of the earthquake, 8, which is massive, that people feel that that Japan has escaped. We've got, as you said, about 11 people dead and nearly 200 injured. For an earthquake like that, if it had happened on land, it could have been an absolute disaster.
And what action is the Japanese government taking to help?
Well, the Japanese Prime Minister has just finished a meeting in the last hour of 22 of the ministries that will be involved in the relief work. And one of the interesting things that came out of that is that he hinted that Japan may offer aid to Russia in their own relief efforts on the Kuril Islands.
Brian Williams from Tokyo, thanks very much.
London News Time, coming up to 25 minutes past six. Travel is next.
Well, young man, what's wrong?
Doctor, it's when I try moving.
Have you tried the Woolwich?
The Woolwich?
Oh, don't be such a slouch. Just pop up on the couch with the Woolwich.
With the Woolwich.
So my patience won't be tried. If I have lied to the Woolwich.
Nurse Jones? No, just look at this test. They've come off the best.
What mortgage magazine's best overall national vendor?
Yes, they won the vote for this award of note. Keep the Woolwich.
Take your blood pressure down and remove your frown with the Woolwich.
I think I'll prescribe myself the Woolwich then.
Good idea. In a changing world, it's good to be with the Woolwich.
Can I take the thermometer out now?
All right, stand up.
For written quotations, call the Woolwich Building Society on 0800 400 900. Mortgages subject to security status valuation. A suitable endowment policy or pension plan may be required. Your home is at risk if you do not keep up repayments on a mortgage or other loan secured on it.
You're listening to London News on 97.3 FM. A very good morning. Now over to our travel team.
And better news now through the Blackwall Tunnel. That accident through the northbound side has now been cleared, so traffic flow is back to normal and so far not showing too many signs of building up. Chelsea Bridge, that's down to a single lane northbound all this week because of repair work that is going to cause delays back towards Battersea, and you can expect problems there during the course of the morning. And in Hornsey on Firm Park Road, you'll find the temporary lights in the roadworks at the junction with Fairfield Road are out of order this morning. That's quite a busy cut-through route just off Tottenham Lane. So far, traffic heading in on the A4 through the roadworks at the junction with North End Road in Earls Court, not doing too badly. Traffic there is moving fairly well at the moment. On the motorways, though, the M25 looking fairly heavy clockwise, down to about 20 miles an hour on the traffic sensors through the roadworks at Junction 7. M4, that's running well so far, likewise the M1 and the M11. On the trains, intercity West Coast services between Euston and Manchester being delayed by points problems further north. Otherwise, trains, tubes and buses running well so far, although bus route 137A may well be delayed because of those repair works on Chelsea Bridge. Matthew Schofield for the London Travel Team.
Matthew, thanks very much indeed. London News Finance Time now, 27 minutes past six, over to our studio at Reuters.
Publishers Reed Elsevier will pay £1 billion for the LexisNexis legal and publishing business. Lexis is currently owned by Mead, which is selling the group in order to concentrate on its core business. And after a week of torment for British merchant banks, Goldman Sachs declines to comment on reports that it's planning to cut up to 10% of its workforce. A company source says there has been no decision so far. And car giant Ford's chairman said Jaguar is on the road to profitability in 1995. Alex Trotman said they are improving operations and quality. Moving over to the markets, with Tokyo just in the closing stages, the Nikkei index is trading 121 points higher at 19,689. Stocks in Tokyo received a boost in afternoon trading after what was a shaky start. Leading the market higher is index-linked buying. However, with volumes thin, movements are said to be exaggerated. Staying in the Far East, in Hong Kong, the Hang Seng index is 145 lower at 93.60. The downturn is being led by property stocks, which are suffering from fears of higher US interest rates. Briefly looking at Singapore, the Straits Time index is 6 ahead at 23.76. Moving down under, the All Ordinaries in Australia is 15 lower at 19.83. And now for a look at the Asian currency market. The dollar comes off its lows after a swathe of buying orders. Japanese trust banks were seen in the market at the level of 99.3 yen. Markets are little impressed by last night's comments from financier George Soros. He had predicted the dollar should rise to between 115 and 120 against the yen. Traders are also wary of holding long positions in the dollar, especially after last night's fall in the US stock and bonds market. The pound is now trading at just under $1.58 and at 2 Deutschmarks 44 and two-thirds. The dollar is currently changing hands at just under 1 Deutschmark 55 and at 99 and two-thirds against the yen. I'm Lisa Wilson in the city.
And there'll be more financial news for you in around about half an hour's time. London news time, 29 minutes past six.
The London Stock Exchange is one of the largest in the world. Astonishingly, more than 9 million of us own shares of one sort or another. Commerce is the organisation of human endeavour. Yet the rate at which it changes and the technology involved make it seem to most mortals ever more complex. In today's global economy, London accounts for 10% of equity trading worldwide. So we do have a certain responsibility to stay informed. Commerce deeply penetrates our lives. Whether we buy into it or from it, it holds a powerful sway over us. As one trading capital closes, another opens. News in this market happens all the time. Well, now we can access that news all the time.
Switch on to radio's most informed business and finance reports. London News, 97.3 FM. All news, all the time. Because that's how it happens.
London News time, it's 6.30. A British Rail advertisement aimed at teenagers which use condoms to sell train tickets has been described as grossly irresponsible by advertising watchdogs. The advert for the BR European Pass appeared in national newspapers and featured a circle of yellow condoms in a mock European flag. Lizzie Knight reports.
The Advertising Standards Authority said the commercial was encouraging promiscuity among young people, and its parody of the European flag had caused widespread offence. BR denied the advert encouraged promiscuity, saying it was merely acknowledging that large numbers of 18 to 25-year-olds had sex while on holiday. The ASA upheld all complaints against BR and told advertisers to avoid similar approaches in the future. British soap operas stand accused of glorifying fatty foods while their Australian counterparts are high in fibre and low in alcohol. A new report by a vegetarian magazine criticises characters in Coronation Street for wolfing down fry-ups and knocking back the beer, but it praises Neighbours and Home and Away stars for a diet of fruit, veg and salads. And in fact, Coronation Street is also in the news because Vera Duckworth allegedly is set to do battle with Take That for this year's Christmas number one music slot.
And she will win.
I think she will. I can just see her with a pint in one hand, a fag in the other. It'll be good.
And speaking of which...
here's our weather woman. First with the weather news, it's Louise Lear. Good morning.
What a wonderful image you've just conjured up there of me. Well, good morning, everyone. The latest satellite picture shows clear skies once again over England and Wales. There is some cloud up to the northwest, which will spread across Scotland and Northern Ireland, but generally a rain-free day for most of the country. The only threat on the radar system at the moment is around the Lincolnshire and East Anglian coast, but even that looks to be heading away from the country. So for the capital, another chilly start. The rest of the day, though, will once again turn out to be quite pleasant. Still pretty cold for this time of year, but plenty of sunshine around first. first thing this morning. Now, cloud will thicken up a little bit by the afternoon, and this will allow the temperatures to rise up a couple of degrees more than yesterday to 13 Celsius. Now, if you're off around the UK today, conditions aren't going to be too bad. We'll start with the worst first of all. Scotland, in comparison to yesterday, though, isn't that drastic. Aberdeen and Glasgow will start off pretty cloudy with a little patchy rain and temperatures around 12 Celsius. Belfast staying mainly dry and bright, a little warmer than London with 14 Celsius. Down into Newcastle, dry with some sunny spells, and much the same for Manchester and Cardiff. Plenty of sunshine around, temperatures there into 13 Celsius. Further UK city conditions coming up within the hour.
You look nothing like Vera Duckworth, really, don't worry. But you like Coronation Street.
Backpedalling fast. I'm not a fan, to be quite honest.
How can you say that? It's my favourite thing. I love it.
How can you say that with two fans sitting here, at least?
The only one in the country who probably doesn't watch it, but I must admit, I'm an EastEnders fan instead.
Oh, well, fair enough. We'll allow you to be one. Louise, thanks very much. Talk to you very shortly. Coming in just a moment, the very latest travel news.
There have been a lot of changes over the last 25 years at Jeeves of Belgravia, and good service is still our first priority. You'll find the finest dry cleaning, with attention to detail that's second to none. And Jeeves staff are specialists in every step of the process. You'll also find quality shoe and garment repair, including reweave and a fast shirt laundry, all at a price that might surprise you. Jeeves of Belgravia. There are branches throughout London. Look us up in Yellow Pages.
London News Time, 26 minutes to 7 now on 97.3 FM. If you've just joined us, a very good morning and welcome along. Travel news now from our traffic team.
On the whole, traffic on the major routes into town coping fairly well. The Blackwall Tunnel more or less back to normal after the accident earlier. On the northbound side, that's not causing too much of a problem now. Chelsea Bridge, though, that may well cause you delays down to a single lane northbound for repair work today. And Lee Bridge Road in Clapton, that still has the repair work underway at Lee Bridge itself, which will cause you some delays heading in from the Walthamstow direction. Hurst Road in East Molesey, burst water main at the junction with Bishop Foxway. The road there is closed, so all traffic there is having to follow local diversions. The M25, that's looking a bit slow clockwise, as you'd expect really, through the roadworks at Junction 7 near Reigate, down to about 20 miles an hour, looking round the traffic sensors. And the M26, that's likely to prove a problem once again this morning. Roadworks between Rootham and the M25 at Sevenoaks, reducing it to one lane each way, regularly does cause about a 3 mile queue during the rush hour, so it may be worth avoiding that. On the train, still delays to intercity West Coast services between Euston and Manchester because of a points problem further north. More locally, the 6:52 Orpington to Victoria service via Herne Hill has been cancelled this morning. All other lines running normally, though, and so far no problems on the tubes or the buses. Matthew Schofield for the London Travel Team.
It's Matthew Travel every 10 minutes here on London News 97.3 FM, 25 minutes to 7. Now, Lloyds Names had a £504 million court victory yesterday, or did they? Robin Amler, who's going to pay?
Well, thousands of Lloyds investors will have been partying at least modestly last night after the landmark court judgment. They're actually seeking £630 million in compensation. It appears they will have got something in the region of £504 million on the formula the judge announced. It's the largest case so far of its kind in English legal history. The names on four Goodawker Walker syndicates won their High Court battle for compensation, or indeed did they? Whether there's actually any money to be had is a question yet to be answered. One former government minister, who under the circumstances prefers to remain anonymous, has described the Lloyds losses as the financial equivalent of HIV for the upper middle classes. Lloyds has also been called the biggest regulatory failure the city's ever seen. In what's likely to be the understatement of the year, Mr. Justice Phillips began his 146-page judgment with the words, and I quote, 1988, 1989 and 1990 were bad years for Lloyds. Well, the market lost around £7 billion, and let's just put the Goodawker Walker situation, the court case that's just gone through, in perspective. The syndicates were responsible for close to a third of the whole of the market's losses in one of those years. Mr. Justice Phillips ruled key underwriters failed to exercise the skill to be expected of reasonably competent underwriters and breached the duty of care owed to the names. Well, I said it was the largest case so far. There are more on the stocks, around 40 to be precise. Now, the next major case involves members of the Feltrim Syndicate. They're pressing for around £600 million in compensation also, and that's set to kick off in court on the 17th of this month. But before we cheer and crow too much about city pinstripes being metaphorically hung, drawn and quartered, or indeed fat cats who should have known the risks they were taking on, let's think clearly about Lloyds and its future. And yes, it probably does have one. It's possible yesterday's judgment will in fact be the saving of the market, representing as it does the beginning of an overdue mucking out of the stables at Lime Street. It's unlikely, given the unequivocal nature of the ruling, that it'll be overturned. It is equally unlikely, I have to say, that the names will see all of the apparently £504 million that they've been awarded, for the simple reason that the money isn't there, the insurance isn't there, as far as the underwriters are concerned. But it does mean that the reinsurers outside the markets are going to start thinking hard about stumping up money. The Goode Walker Names victory will put pressure on Lloyd's to rethink its attempted out-of-court settlement with Names, which fell by the wayside earlier this year. That being said, they've already said it won't, but they would say that, wouldn't they? But they may add more money to the deal. A precedent has certainly been set with the Goode Walker ruling. Lloyd's does still have a place in the insurance world as a major source of so-called invisible income for the UK, bringing in foreign earnings. And it's being dragged very painfully into the 20th century. Individual names on the market and their unlimited liability exposure are likely to become less and less important, with corporate limited liability investment now allowed on the market. In fact, it might well be a rather attractive, if still high-risk investment, in 5 or 10 years when all the current problems are sorted out. At the very worst, you could only lose the money you'd actually invested.
Robin, what about the reputation of the city? How does that come out after all this? The city as a whole, the financial centre, earns so much in invisible earnings for the country.
I think to a certain extent Lloyd's has been ring-fenced from the rest of the city as far as the problems there are concerned. It was, if you like, an anomaly in terms of the way the markets operated and in terms of the way it was regulated, and it's been seen to be an anomaly for quite some time. And it is overdue that a change takes place. It's just a pity that it has to take place against such a background of chaos, apparent illegality, and also destitution for a lot of people.
And terribly briefly, is my car insurance going to go up?
Not necessarily. How many bangs did you have on the way in this morning?
Just like that. A fairly good trip. Robin, thanks very much indeed.
If you fancy being in the money, we've got something for you in the next hour of the programme. You could win yourself £1,000 in our brand new newsmaker competition. So listen out for that. That's coming up between 7 and 8 on 97.3 FM. If you've just joined us, a very good morning and welcome along.
John Peters, pilot, the Gulf.
You can feel your own sweat and you can kind of taste your blood. It's kind of gritty in your teeth. And you're just trying to hang in there as long as you can. But I think my main focus was on Guy, my little boy, because I just thought I won't be able to kind of be his father. I didn't like the thought of someone else bringing my son up.
Some people are willing to give everything for their country. All we're asking you to give is a few hours of your time. If you'd like to help ex-servicemen and women by becoming a collector for the Poppy Appeal, call 0800 1939 45 now. The Poppy Appeal. Remember the dead, but don't forget the living.
London News, 97.3 FM. 24-hour news for the 24-hour city.
Good morning, I'm Michael Wilson.
And I'm Claire Catford. Gerry Adams meets with one of his bitterest political opponents live on American TV. With the rail dispute still a painful memory for commuters, underground workers are to strike. And business leaders still sound gloomy on the economy.
American television has screened a groundbreaking live debate between two of Northern Ireland's main political players. The Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams was seen sitting alongside the Ulster Unionist MP Ken McGuinness. The two men are bitter opponents. It's the first time the two sides have shared a platform. Mr McGuinness said, despite the IRA ceasefire, the Sinn Féin leader can't be trusted.
He's someone who fronts for a vicious organisation that has killed almost 2,000 people during the last 20-odd years. If someone is sitting on over 100 tons of arms, how on earth do you trust them?
Mr Adams said talking was now the only way forward in Ulster, and he said now is the time for reconciliation.
I have acknowledged in Ireland the suffering that has been inflicted by Republicans upon others. I myself have been a victim of terrorism. I have no monopoly, and those I represent have no monopoly on suffering. I think it's time to put out the hand of friendship.
London's commuters are facing another strike, this time on the Tube. Negotiations between underground officials and RMT union leaders last night failed to resolve the dispute over pay. A 24-hour walkout is due to start at 7:30 tomorrow evening.
It seems that those green shoots of recovery remain elusive. A survey out today shows the majority of top business leaders don't believe the government has led Britain out of the recession. The poll, commissioned by London Radio, found that 80% of business people thought the economy was not yet back on its feet. Douglas Gooden of the Confederation of British Industry admits there are doubts, but he thinks things are improving and he's calling for the Chancellor to keep the recovery on track.
The one thing that would not be very helpful is if we saw any further significant rises in interest rates. So I don't really see those as being necessary to keep inflation under control. I think as far as taxes are concerned, which people may be rather concerned at, there's probably little scope to reduce taxes in the forthcoming budget by any significance. But I think, again, looking ahead further to late 1995 and into 1996, then there may well be scope for perhaps some tax reductions which will help the typical employee, provided the government can also keep a grip on its spending.
London News Time, 17 minutes to 7. Travel news in a moment.
Where in the world?
Where in the world can I find Canon's brilliant new BJC 4000 inkjet printer, offering 360 dots per inch colour and 720 dots per inch black and white printing, all for the astonishingly low price of £369, excluding VAT at 17.5%.
Win a home through the Evening Standard keyhole. Win a superb three-bedroom house with garage, quality built by Barratt. Or win a luxury Barratt Thameside apartment with two bedrooms, fitted kitchen and carpeted throughout. Pick up a game card from your newsagent or Evening Standard office and place over the grid in the Evening Standard. Reveal six keys and win a home worth over £100,000, plus hundreds of cash prizes must be won. Two homes and £50,000 cash must be won through the Evening Standard keyhole. Start playing today, no purchase necessary.
London News Time, 16 minutes to 7, and over to the travel team.
Major routes heading into town starting to get a little on the heavy side, as you'd expect. The A4 building up over towards the Hogarth roundabout and then in through Hammersmith past the roadworks at the junction with North End Road. Blackwall Tunnel starting to build also from the south, but so far no serious problems. Traffic generally moving fairly well. You will find problems in Hornsey on Firm Park Road. The temporary traffic lights in the roadworks at the junction with Fairfield Road are out of order this morning. Quite a busy cut-through route just off Tottenham Lane, so may well cause you one or two problems. And Chelsea Bridge, that's down to a single lane northbound because of repair work. You can expect delays back towards Battersea. On the motorways, AA patrols tell us on the M25 in Essex, junctions 28 to 29 clockwise, there has been a diesel spillage. Shouldn't cause any major problems. The usual build-up is anti-clockwise in the morning, so it shouldn't cause any major delays. M25 in Surrey, that's looking fairly busy clockwise at junction 7 through the roadworks, down to about 20 miles an hour. On the trains, intercity West Coast services between Euston and Manchester are being delayed by points problems further north. And the 641 Sevenoaks to Cannon Street train has been cancelled this morning. Matthew Schofield for the London Travel Team.
Weather in just a moment for you, but now here's a sport with Dominic Allen.
Third Division Mansfield Town provided the shock of the Coca-Cola Football League Cup when they beat Leeds United 1-0 on aggregate. After winning the first leg 1-0 at Elland Road, they held Leeds to a goalless draw in the second leg at Field Mill. Watford beat Tottenham 3-2 on the night at White Hart Lane, but Spurs go through to the third round 8-6 overall. All the other London clubs in action are through as well, but Crystal Palace gave their supporters a fright. It was 4 minutes into injury time before they scored to level the tie against Lincoln at 1-1 on aggregate. Palace then scored twice more in extra time to win 3-1. Chelsea beat Bournemouth by a goal to nil at Dean Court to go through 2-0 on aggregate, and Millwall held Sunderland to a 1-1 draw at Roker Park. Millwall won 3-2 over the two legs. The other clubs to reach the third round last night were Blackburn Rovers, Norwich City, Nottingham Forest, Oldham and Sheffield Wednesday. There are 14 more second-round, second-leg games this evening, and there could be more surprises because in five of them, Premiership sides have to come from behind to win their place in the third round. Martina Hingis, the 14-year-old Czech girl, won her first match as a professional last night in the European Indoor Championships in Zurich. She beat Patty Fendick in straight sets 6-4, 6-3. There are four race meetings today. They're at York, Haydock Park, Market Rasen and Toaster.
A reasonably good evening for London clubs, Dominic.
Yes, it was. I mean, apart from Tottenham, a pretty abject performance by Spurs against Watford at White Hart Lane. Watford winning on the night, 3-2. But Spurs going through 8-6 overall. But as you say, for the other sides all won. Chelsea beat Bournemouth by a goal to nil. Gavin Peacock scoring the goal at Dean Court against his old club. Still a record signing for Bournemouth going to Chelsea. But Bournemouth have got the worst record in the Football League defensively, so not that good a result for Chelsea. Palace, well, they lost the first leg at Sinsel Bank 1-0 against Lincoln. It took them into injury time before they equalised there, but then two goals in extra time gave Palace a 3-1 win on aggregate. Millwall, good result for them, a 1-1 draw up at Roker Park against Sunderland. Never easy to get anything out of Roker Park, but Millwall go through 3-2 on aggregate. So those are the main stories from London, and good news.
Thanks very much. Thank indeed. You. Nice day for kicking conkers about in the park today, isn't it, Louise?
Yes, very nice indeed. If you're just about to set off to work this morning, be prepared for a cold and crisp journey in. The mercury plummeted down once again last night, but not quite as cold as Monday, but still low enough to give a widespread ground frost out in rural areas. Temperatures at the moment around the outskirts is around 2 degrees, picking up slightly in the centre to 5. Now, despite this cold start, though, it is going to be another bright and sunny day. The type that looks really inviting from inside a central heating room, but you really need to put on an extra layer if you're going out in it. Like yesterday, a good deal of sun around, but there will be more in the way of cloud by the afternoon, allowing temperatures to rise to 13 Celsius. Now, if you're travelling across into Europe today, let's take our very first look at the London News jet commuter forecast. A nice day for Paris, bright and sunny. A mixture of sunshine and showers for Amsterdam and Brussels, but it will be slightly warmer than the temperatures in London yesterday. Showers at first for Berlin and Frankfurt, but they will ease off towards the end of the day. And finally, a showery start for Milan, but it will brighten up later and temperatures rising to a warm 18 Celsius, which is 64 Fahrenheit.
So do you need your vest then? That's the question I need to know.
In this country, yes, if you feel the cold, but not so much in Europe. It's not going to be too bad.
Louise, thanks very much. Talk to you in about 50 minutes' time. London News time now, 12 minutes to 7 on 97.3 FM. The pessimism of the business community seems to be borne out by the latest snapshot of the housing market. Leaders of Britain's biggest building society, the Halifax, say sales are still slow and probably won't improve until next spring. Prices have fallen below levels recorded at the same time last year.
Abroad now, 11 people are reported to have died and hundreds have been injured in two earthquakes which have hit northern Japan. The first quake was centred just off Hokkaido and measured 8.2 on the Richter scale. A secondary tremor registered 6 on the scale. Two people have died in Hokkaido and Moscow has confirmed that 9 have been killed on Russia's Kuril Islands off the coast of Japan. The Russian Emergency Situations Ministry says the shocks have caused severe damage and have disrupted communications. Tidal waves thrown up by the earthquakes have washed over many islands in the area.
The South African President Nelson Mandela has appealed to the United States for help in rebuilding his country. President Clinton has responded by promising strong support on the journey from apartheid to multiracial democracy. Mr. Mandela is hoping to attract American investment and aid.
We have now opened a new battle line. The fight against poverty, against hunger, against joblessness, against homelessness, against disease, illiteracy, lack of electricity, of running water, of health care. It may prove to be a more difficult battle than the one we fought with arms and other pressure.
London News time, 7:10. United Nations sanctions against Serbia have been eased as a reward to President Slobodan Milosevic for halting the supply of arms to the Bosnian Serbs. For the next 100 days, they'll be allowed to re-establish transport links and take part in cultural and sporting events. Strict trade sanctions on the Serbs will remain in place.
Coming in just a moment, we'll be hearing about the plane trade in our comments spot with Paul Maurice. London News time, 7:09 on 97.3 FM. That's in just a moment.
Why pay more for quality furniture? At the Furniture Mill, they've three-piece suites from just £299, leather suites from an amazing £799, and Italian dining room suites from an unbelievable £499. The Furniture Mill, open 7 days a week, Canning Town, right by the flyover. Call 071 473 5533. That's 473 5533.
If you are a little bit scary of heights, frightened of heights, frightened of flying, but you fancy maybe going on one of those super-duper jumbo jets. Well, have a listen to this. He's a aeroplane fan. It's Paul Maurice.
They have more chance of being killed in a road accident than in a plane crash on their way to their annual holiday. It's being crammed together in a small aluminium tube without those usual comforts that worries them. I'm talking in terms of comforts, of course, about such things as brake pedals on a car, a dinger on the bus, or the communications cord on a train. And, of course, without the ability to open the door when the vehicle has actually stopped. But a new phobia is arriving, and it's a serious worry for the major aircraft manufacturers and the airlines. It's a fear of flying an aircraft which can carry up to 1,000 people. These leviathans of the skies are beginning to come off the drawing boards in Seattle and Toulouse, the respective homes of Boeing and Airbus. They will eventually fly non-stop halfway round the world, and on takeoff they will weigh a staggering 515 tonnes. Over the last few weeks, I've carried out a straw poll of a group of regular travellers, professional aviation journalists, business travellers, and even some of the playmakers themselves. And it's not the technology that they fear that will let them down, but the sheer number of people who would lose their lives should disaster strike. Statistically, they're sure that the odds of an early interview with your maker are no different from today, and a sticky end from an encounter with a bus is still more likely. But this new fear, or perhaps I should call it heightened anxiety in modern idiom, is still there. And it's not been helped by a series of unexplained accidents and incidents to Airbus and Boeing aircraft in the last 6 months. The sophistication of the computer systems through which the pilot flies the Airbus aircraft in particular have been tried, tested and proved to be faultless despite ill-informed criticism. And when the first Airbus XXX leaves the runway in Toulouse around the turn of the century, it will have been further improved and simplified in accordance with galloping advances in modern technology. And yet there will still have to be a major public relations campaign, or perhaps public awareness campaign, to reassure travellers that these new giants are safe. With a limited number of airports and a limited amount of airspace around the world, the bigger planes will be environmentally more friendly. Of course, still flown by two pilots, they should be a little goldmine for the airlines. And for the engine makers like Rolls-Royce, who have already designed, developed and produced engines big enough to power these mega-jumbos, there will also be a big payday. That's so long as you and I are confident enough to join another 999 people for takeoff.
No problem as far as I'm concerned. I'm not a white-knuckle flyer, but I just get to that trolley and have a scotch, and that's it. No problem.
I like the way when they come round and say, coffee, tea or milk, and you say, stewardess, the plane's on fire. She says, coffee, tea or milk?
No, I mean, it's a safe method of transport. The only problem is just when you look down, it's a bit scary. But if it's cloudy, there's no problem.
Do you sleep on planes, OK, or do you find that quite difficult?
No, I sleep fine, yeah. It's a couple of hours. Wake up as stiff as a board with a crick in my neck, but it's not too bad.
I like the movie with a nice bowl of popcorn myself. At London News Time, 6 minutes to 7. Over now to our travel team.
Looking fairly slow now, heading northbound through the Blackwall Tunnel. That accident earlier has all been clear, but still slow moving for about a mile, although the good news is it is all moving, at least looking around the cameras there. Starting to build up also, heading into town on the A4, the roadworks on Talgarth Road Junction, North End Road, beginning to slow things down, as you'd expect. Out in East Molesey, Hurst Road, that's still closed because of a burst water main. There are local diversions operating, but obviously that's going to slow traffic as we head through the morning. And coming in along Wandsworth High Street, the roadwork's still there. One lane closed off eastbound at the junction with Ram Street. The M25, junctions 28 to 29 on the Essex section, a lorry leaking diesel at the moment on the clockwise carriageway, so there are speed restrictions in force. And the M25 also looking fairly heavy clockwise, as you'd expect through the roadworks in Surrey, junctions 7 to 8, down to about 25 miles an hour at the moment. Tubes running well so far this morning. No problems reported on any lines. On the trains, Great Western services between London and the West Country being delayed because of a major signal failure in the Bath area. Matthew Schofield for the London Travel Team.
Thanks, Matthew. Travel every 10 minutes here on 97.3 FM. And London News Finance Time, 5 minutes to 7, over to our studio at Reuters.
After the Dow closed down 45 points yesterday at 38.01, fears that rising inflation will lead to a rise in US interest rates has spooked the Far Eastern markets. Over in Tokyo, in the closing stages, the Nikkei index is trading 101 points higher at 19,670. Stocks in Tokyo received a boost in the early afternoon after what was a shaky start. Leading the market higher is index-linked buying. Staying in the Far East, in Hong Kong, the Hang Seng Index is 145 lower at 93.59. The downturn is being led by property stocks, which again are suffering from fears of higher US interest rates. Briefly looking at Singapore, the Straits Time Index was 6 ahead at 23.76. And now for a look at the currency markets. The dollar comes off its lows after a swathe of buying orders from Japanese trust banks. Markets are little impressed by last night's comments from financier George Soros. He had predicted the dollar should rise to between 115 and 120 against the yen. Traders are wary of holding positions against the dollar, especially after last night's fall in the US stock and bond markets. The pound is now trading at just under $1.58 and at 2 Deutschmarks 44 and 2 thirds. The dollar is at 1 Deutschmark 55 Pfennigs and at 99 and 2 thirds against the yen. In the business market, publishers Real Elsevier will pay £1 billion for the LexisNexis legal and publishing business. Lexis is currently owned by Mead, which is selling the group in order to concentrate on its core business. After a week of torment for British banks, Goldman Sachs declines to comment on reports that it's planning to cut up to 10% of its workforce. A company source says there has been no decision yet within the firm. And car giant Ford's chairman said Jaguar is on the road to profitability in 1995. Alex Trotman said they are improving operations and quality. I'll be back in half an hour, and I'm Lisa Wilson in the city.
Lisa, thanks very much. London News Time now, 7:03. And if you fancy being in the money yourself, we have a competition for you in the next hour. Chance for you to win yourself £1,000. It's our special newsmaker competition, so listen up for that. That's coming between 7 and 8 on 97.3 FM.
Yes, good luck with that. The Princess of Wales apparently is facing yet more claims about her private life. The Daily Express says a new book by Andrew Morton is understood to name a married man who is now the central figure in Diana's life. It reports that he's comforting her after the furore over her alleged affair with Major James Hewitt. And according to a poll in the Daily Mirror, nearly 3 out of 4 people think the monarchy should be scrapped when the Queen dies.
And the Sun has a solution to Princess Diana's problems. The paper is saying she's taken up kickboxing as a way of standing up to all her present pressures. I suppose that's one solution, isn't it?
So does that mean that the Royal Hack Pack will have to take up self-defence lessons?
I think she'd be quite good at it, judging by the fact she goes to the gym all the time. She's a very fit woman, so yeah. Wouldn't like to meet her on a dark night in a dark street. Could be quite scary, couldn't it?
Could be dangerous, especially with photographers around.
Exactly. London News time just coming up to 7:01. You're listening to London News on 97.3 FM. A very good morning.
Landlords, wake up to a better way of managing your property. Paddington Churches Housing Association, one of Britain's leading housing associations, has 30 years' experience managing and maintaining property. Right now, they're looking for properties in Harrow, Barnet, Brent, Camden, Islington, Ealing, Wandsworth and Hammersmith and Fulham. PCHA offers the services and benefits you need to make your property work harder for you, plus rent guarantees subject to location and vacant possession. Ring PCHA now on 081 451 4418. That's 451 4418. There's probably no better service for landlords.
You're listening to London News 97.3 FM. Travel in a few moments' time, and then we have weather every quarter of an hour. Opinion time and, of course, finance every 30 minutes here on London News 97.3 FM. Good morning.